SmackDown tonight was all about the return of Roman Reigns. For the first time since the night after WrestleMania, Roman Reigns decided to show up to work. We got the entire bloodline reunited in the ring for the first time in a month. And we now know what Roman Reigns is going to be doing in 2 weeks at Night of Champions in Saudi Arabia. He will not be defending his undisputed championship, even though he's going to be hitting 1,000 days. I don't know if it's on the day of Night of Champions, but it's right around that time. He's closing in on 1,000 days as champion. He will be competing for a championship, though. It's going to be Roman Reigns and Solo Sikoa as tag team partners taking on Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn being someone who has never wrestled on any of the Saudi shows before. I don't know what changed, but he is going to be at Night of Champions. And so we thought we might be done with Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn in the bloodline, and instead we're right back to it in 2 weeks for the tag team titles as they further that story, the friction between Roman and the Usos. He's throwing shade at them tonight in the promo segment in the ring. Jimmy and Roman nearly coming to blows. We also know what the finals of the World Heavyweight Championship tournament is going to be for what WWE now is openly acknowledging on television when they mention the bloodline is the consolation belt. It is going to be Seth Rollins representing Monday Night Raw going one-on-one with AJ Styles, who of course is now a SmackDown star. AJ and Seth one-on-one for the big gold belt, or a big gold junior, in Saudi Arabia at Night of Champions. And whatever you may think and whatever I may think of this whole world title situation, one thing I will never argue against wanting to see is a match between Seth Rollins and AJ Styles. It's been almost a year since the last time we saw the two of them in the ring one-on-one. And so those two, honestly, if you look at the bracket, which I will show, well, actually, I'll show it to you right now. I may as well put it up on screen. This is the bracket as we came into the show tonight, all filled out on the Raw side. You see Seth Rollins there in the finals. You know, looking at the SmackDown side, I thought Edge had the edge, no pun intended, well, I guess pun intended, but thought it might be Rollins and Edge rekindling their feud, going at it in the finals. That would have been a fine match. But if you look at who's there, the match that really made the most sense as far as the most attractive of all the matches is the one that we're getting, Seth Rollins against AJ Styles. So again, you can't complain about getting that match. But again, as far as the need for this whole championship tournament in the first place, you know, I'm watching this show tonight and I see Roman Reigns is in the ring talking about how he's going to be challenging for the tag team titles at Night of Champions. And all I could think is the man has been missing for a month since WrestleMania. And who knows the next time he's going to defend his championship? I would assume it would be against maybe Bobby Lashley or someone at Money in the Bank. Money in the Bank is still a month and a half away. And if not at Money in the Bank, it may not be until SummerSlam. It's not that hard to get to 1,000 days as champion if you're going to defend your title once every few months. But I'm looking at this whole situation here now where Roman Reigns is going to be wrestling for the tag team titles. And they're going to push the idea that we could come out of Night of Champions with Roman Reigns as Roman Four Belts. That Roman could walk out of Saudi Arabia with four championships by the time that show is, and he won't. But even the mere fact that that's possible, and that that is what they are doing with Roman Reigns. And meanwhile, you have the Cody Rhodes-Brock Lesnar rematch that is taking place on that show. The two of them are going to have a fight. It just becomes a dumber and dumber decision each passing week not to take those titles off of Roman Reigns. Every week that goes by only reinforces what I said in that Night 2 WrestleMania review. This whole story they're doing right now with the bloodline, right? And I get that the idea is that Roman is, you know, going after the Usos because they let him down, right? Solo has done a great job. Roman still has his belts, and the Usos have brought shame onto the family. Like, I get that. I get that's the story they're telling. But you could tell a very similar version of this story without Roman walking around with the two belts. And meanwhile, you could have somebody else defending the championship on these big shows. And you don't even have to go through this whole rigmarole of having a tournament and introducing a whole new championship in the first place. So I just think the whole thing comes off very silly. But one thing, one other thing that we had here on SmackDown tonight was the appearance of a few new faces from NXT. We had Cameron Grimes wrestling his first main roster televised match. We had Pretty Deadly making a cameo in the back. We had Grayson Waller making a cameo in the back. So it's good that they're finally, you know, introducing new talent on this show. It would be nice, though, if they had some new female talent to introduce. And actually, Alba Fire and Isla Dawn are the NXT Women's Tag Team Champions. They made a very brief cameo being shown in the back watching the women's tag team title match. Because don't forget, we have two sets of women's tag team champions now here on this show. We also have a Raw Women's Champion who is on SmackDown. And they still have not given any indication of how they're going to resolve that. We have the red belt on the blue brand and the blue belt on the red brand. No mention of what they're going to do. Are they going to introduce new titles? Are they going to rename them? Are they going to unify them? I mean, what are they doing here? I don't know that they know what they're going to do. But they've swapped the champions and we're getting a WrestleMania rematch at Night of Champions. We're getting a WrestleMania rematch in large part because the women's division on this show, when you look at who they have available right now to challenge Bianca Belair, and Charlotte Flair is gone for now. She's traveling the world. She's on vacation. And frankly, we don't need to see Charlotte Flair come back and go right into a women's championship feud. So you put Charlotte on the side for a second. They don't really have anybody credible who can step into the ring for a program with Bianca Belair in 2 weeks for Night of Champions, where every title, I presume, is going to be on the line. So we're right back to Asuka. We're right back to the same program they were doing at WrestleMania. The match that we already got at WrestleMania, and then they had a draft, and they took Bianca away from Raw, and they put her on a brand new show, and we are right back to Bianca and Asuka at Night of Champions, and the only reason why has nothing to do with a renewed Asuka push. Has everything to do with the fact that they need somebody to put in there against Bianca, and Asuka, she got the winning lottery ticket. So we're getting a WrestleMania. I thought we just had Backlash last weekend. Isn't Backlash usually the show that's resolved for the WrestleMania rematches? And here we are. We're getting another one here at Night of Champions. But we'll go through that and everything else here in this SmackDown review here on this Friday night. It is May the 12th, 2023. I am the Solemn Monster. Thank you so much here for hanging out with me on a Friday night. I hope you guys are having a good night. I know there were some basketball games on. I saw what happened with New York. We don't need to talk about that, though. We got to focus on wrestling tonight. So SmackDown opened with our first of two triple threat matches. We had two triple threat matches on Monday. That is how we ended up with Seth Rollins and Finn Balor going to the semifinals. Seth Rollins has already punched his ticket to Night of Champions. Who would his opponent be? Two triple threat matches tonight, the winners meeting at the very end of the show. And we open the show tonight with Edge, Rey Mysterio, and AJ Styles vying for the chance to become world heavyweight champion. Edge got an entrance. AJ and Rey Mysterio did not because they did something a little bit different. I don't know if this is going to become a recurring theme or not. But they did something on their social media channels where before the show went live on Fox, they broadcast the entrances for AJ and for Ray, but they did it on social media. And then when the show went live on TV, we got the entrance from Edge. So it wasn't televised, but they did technically show the entrances for the other two. But Edge was the only one to get a televised entrance. He came out, I guess his kids were in the front row. So he went over and was kissing his kids before he got into the ring. Now, coming into this show tonight, Edge posted a video. Edge posted a video on social media from a ring. I think he was in the ring or his gym or whatever at his home. And he cut a tremendous promo. a very heartfelt promo, just looking into the camera, nothing scripted or anything like that, talking about the fact that that new world heavyweight title bears a very striking resemblance to the big gold belt that he held years ago, over a decade ago, when he was forced into retirement and he had to vacate the championship. And so he thinks it was very apropos here that he would have a chance to win this new world heavyweight championship that he claims he never lost in the first place, which technically is true. He never did really lose that title. He had to vacate it. He said, "The ride is going to end sooner rather than later. Let's face it. We all know that. I've got to get this done. It's the last thing to do. It's the period at the end of the sentence. It's the last sentence in the book." And he said that after he wins the championship, and I don't remember if he said after he wins it or after he wins it and defends it and then loses it, like, he would retire and that would be it. That would be the cap on his career. And it was a very brief video. It wasn't anything terribly long, but it was a great piece of business because, again, you can relate to it and say, yeah, you know what? That is the title that Edge held many years ago. And time is running out on the hourglass for Edge. You know, he's not getting any younger. He's nearing the end of his run, which could come at any time. I mean, he has talked about wanting his last match to be in Toronto. So if WWE books a big televised show or a pay-per-view in Toronto, every Toronto show from here on out could potentially be the final one for Edge. That could be it for him because he wants that to be the end. He wants that to be the place where he calls it quits. So I just thought it was really good, and it really made people want to see Edge win this match. There were a lot of people I saw on social media who were saying, man, I saw that video, and Edge got me all pumped up for this match. I hope he goes to the finals, or I hope he goes all the way, and they give him one last run with the World Heavyweight Championship. I don't need to see Edge with the World Heavyweight Championship. I was not wishing for him to win the entire thing. But he even had me pulling for him to at least go to the finals and get, you know, him and Seth in the finals at Night of Champions. So coming into this match, between the fact that he was the only one to get a televised entrance and the video that he posted on social media, had me thinking that he was going over here in this match and he was going to be going to Night of Champions. That did not happen. Edge caught Ray going for a springboard crossbody block, got a fallaway slam. He went for a double spear. Both opponents, though, kicked him. Ray put Edge down with a destroyer for a near fall. Edge rolled out to the floor. AJ sent Mysterio sliding under the bottom rope into Edge on the floor, and AJ then delivered a baseball slide to Edge. Edge went backwards and gave a DDT to Ray, and that took us into the first commercial break of the night. When they came back, Styles had Mysterio lifted up on the apron. Ray fought out of it. Edge dove through the ropes, speared them both to the floor. That got chance of holy shit. Styles put Ray in the calf crusher. Edge came back in, put Ray in a crossface, so we had a double submission going here. Edge then released the hold, hit Styles to break his hold. Styles and Edge traded blows until Mysterio set both guys up for the 619, but Mysterio ran into a double drop kick, and then Edge and AJ double clotheslined each other, so we had a triple down, where all three men were down at the same time. Ray cut him off when Edge went to the ropes. Ray cut him off and set up for a top rope Hurricane Rana. Styles, though, came up. He grabbed Ray, powerbombed him for a near fall. Styles went to the ropes where Edge was still seated, and Ray recovered. He came over and executed a powerbomb on Styles, who simultaneously superplexed Edge. This was a smooth sequence. This looked good. This was a good-looking spot. Ray got Edge in position for the 619. Styles, though, tripped up Ray from the floor. AJ set up for his finish. Edge avoided it. Ray got Edge in position for the 619 again, but when he swung his legs around, Edge grabbed him, pulled him back inside, and locked him in the educator. So he had him. Ray was in agony. He was trying to reach for the bottom rope to get the rope break, but he couldn't reach the rope. Edge notices AJ is coming too, and here comes AJ Styles. And so he let go of the hold, and he grabbed AJ and took him down, and he applied the educator to AJ instead. Ray finally hit Edge with the 619, then he went up top, and it looked like what was supposed to happen was on the way down, Edge was supposed to spear Ray out of midair. That was the spot, and Edge was late. I don't know if he just wasn't looking, he wasn't paying attention at the right moment, or if he was winded, because up to this point, you know, Edge was hanging in there just fine. I mean, I know he's getting older, he's getting a little slower, but you know, especially the second half of the match, I thought was really good stuff. So it may have just been a situation where Edge mistimed it, but it got botched. This was not a spear. Ray had to awkwardly sell it anyway like it was. And AJ then came flying in with a phenomenal forearm to Edge, and he pinned Edge to win the match and to advance to the semifinals. So the botch there at the end was unfortunate because I thought these guys were rolling pretty well by the end of this. More so everything after the break. I mean, before the break, it was a little rough in spots, but more so coming out of the commercial break, I thought they were rolling along pretty well. And then the botch happened, and it hurt it, but this was still a very good opener. And they went long. They went about 15 or 16 minutes here in this match. Again, they got me between the Edge social media video and him getting the televised entrance and kissing his kids in the front row. I mean, boy, they really wanted you to believe that Edge was going over in this match. The fact that he was the one to take the losing fall more than anything else is what surprised me. So that was something I was not expecting. But no complaints for me about what they did here. We ended up with a very good match. We ended up with a solid 15-minute match to open the show. And what's there to complain about? I mean, that's always a good way to kick things off here at the beginning of these shows. So they didn't waste any time taking us into the second triple threat match. They on Monday night, they spaced the two of them out a little bit in the first hour because they got 3 hours of television. Here you only have two. You have less than two if you factor out the commercial break. So, you know, these two winners were going to go at it in the main event. You had to put some distance between that match and these matches. So they went right into the next triple threat match here. It was Bobby Lashley. It was Sheamus. And it was Austin Theory. And the winner of this match would go on to wrestle AJ in the main event of this show. Theory went to the floor as soon as the bell rang. The champion, the U.S. champion, he left the ring. Lashley and Sheamus chased after him. They pounded on him. They threw him back into the ring. Lashley clotheslined Theory back outside and then worked over Sheamus until Sheamus hit a slam. Sheamus set up Lashley for the 10 beats. Theory, though, broke it up, only to fall victim to it himself. And after that, it was to the break. We come back from break. Bobby he's outside with Theory. And Lashley just mows him down. So down goes Austin Theory. Bobby picks him up. He runs him headfirst into the ring post. In the ring, Bobby and Sheamus, they start trading strikes. Lashley catches him with a belly-to-belly suplex. Sheamus fights off the Hurt Lock as Theory comes back into the ring with a dropkick. Theory hit a rolling blockbuster on Lashley, only got two out of it. Theory and Lashley, they ended up outside. And Theory sent Lashley flying into the ring steps. And it looked like he went in shoulder first, but obviously he clipped the top of his skull as he hit the ring steps. And that took him out of the match for a while, and for good reason, because when Lashley came back up and we saw him again, he was covered in blood. He was bleeding heavily from the top of his head. It was pouring down his face. I mean, this was not some little cut. And so he was bleeding pretty heavily. So while Lashley, though, was still outside, before he even got into the ring and we can see that he was bleeding at all, he was out there for a while, probably being tended to by the officials. While that was happening, Sheamus delivered an avalanche white noise to Theory from the middle rope. He got a two count out of it. Sheamus set Theory up for the Celtic Cross. Theory escaped. He got knocked down anyway, though. And Sheamus then set up for the brogue kick. But when he came out of the corner and he went for the kick, here comes Lashley out of nowhere. He reemerged and he speared Sheamus. So down goes Sheamus. Theory then posts Lashley. Shoulder first, he tried to steal the pin on Sheamus, the same way he won the triple threat match in Backlash. When he stole the pin to retain the U.S. title, in this case, though, Sheamus kicked out at 2.5. Theory went for A-Town Down to a bloodied Lashley. Lashley slipped out, hit a massive one-arm spine buster. Hurt Lock applied. Sheamus with a brogue kick nails Theory. Lashley tosses Sheamus from the ring. And Bobby Lashley gives Austin Theory a little taste of his own medicine here. And takes the pin to advance to the semifinals later on in the show. This was the weaker, slightly weaker of the two triple threat matches here. It was still a good match. I like the other one better than this one, even with the botch. But it was nice to get 30 minutes of wrestling back-to-back to open this show. When was the last time that happened? When was the last time you had two really good matches that opened the first 30-plus minutes of this show? So that's certainly one of the reasons why I would give the show a thumbs up, and I thought SmackDown overall was a good show tonight, a very good show. These matches, these tournament matches, had a lot to do with that. I thought with Theory being the lone heel in this, and being the United States champion, that they would give him the first win, and then he would go on to lose to AJ. So for me, and I can't speak for everybody, and you know what you guys thought as far as who you thought was going over here. Yeah, I thought there was a pretty good chance AJ might win, but I was expecting Edge in the first one and Theory in this one, with Edge then beating Theory and going on to face Seth. So for me, it was two surprise outcomes in these matches to open the show. So then we returned after the break. We come back, and we're backstage in Adam Pearce's office. And Adam Pearce is meeting Grayson Waller for the first time, one of the newest additions to the SmackDown roster from NXT. Grayson Waller is there. He suggests that whoever wins the main event tonight between AJ Styles and Bobby Lashley should be the first guest on the first installment, the first main roster installment of his talk show, the Grayson Waller Effect. And Pierce thought that was a great idea, so he made the segment official for next week. Speaking of NXT newcomers, we had the in-ring SmackDown debut of one Cameron Grimes. Oh, we used to talk about Cameron Grimes all the time here on these streams. When we would talk about NXT, we would talk about Cameron Grimes. And here he is on SmackDown. This man has been just missing for so long, doing nothing, sitting at home, waiting for the phone call, waiting to come back to work. Finally, he's back. And he had a match tonight with Baron Corbin. Corbin took the microphone before the match began. And he welcomed Grimes as SmackDown's very last pick in the draft. He said in 2 minutes he was going to be flat on his back, wishing he was back in NXT. And then the bell rang. Actually, I think what Corbin said was true, but it was in reference to himself. Honestly, if anybody these days is probably begging for an NXT run, it should be Baron Corbin. But the bell rang, and as soon as the bell rang, Cameron Grimes caught him coming out of the corner with a leaping double stomp. He calls the cave-in. We've seen him put people away with this in NXT. Cave-in, 1, 2, 3. Just like that. Less than 10 seconds it took for Cameron Grimes to beat Baron Corbin. That was the best Baron Corbin match I've seen in ages. Cameron Grimes goes over to win the match. That was the same way. And I had to look up the opponent name, but I did vaguely remember when NXT debuted on USA Network, when they expanded the show to 2 hours and you know the show debuted on USA and they took it off the network. Cameron Grimes wrestled on that show. He wrestled Sean Maluta, and he beat him the exact same way. Bell rang, cave in, 1, 2, 3. So this was a nice little callback to the way that he debuted on that first NXT on USA show. I like that they have that in common. I like that his debuts on Fox and USA now share something in common. So this was not long enough to show what Grimes can really do, right? I mean, it was like an 8-second match, if that. So you can't really get a good sense of what this person is capable of in the time that this match lasted. But you always want to make a good impression. When you make your debut, one thing you want to do is you always want to make a good impression. And I can't think of a better way to make a good impression than by squashing your opponent in less than 10 seconds. And that is what Cameron Grimes did in this match. I mean, as far as debuts go, it doesn't get much better than that. I'd certainly rather be on the winning end of a squash than see him being squashed by somebody else. Considering his size, it would not have shocked me to see him debut and get squashed by Baron Corbin, who was bigger than him. So that was kind of refreshing. to see Cameron Grimes get that kind of win here in his first match. My guess here is that this is the beginning of a longer story. We have not seen the last of the, I guess, issues or whatever you want to call it between Grimes and Corbin. I expect them to run this back next week. Either next week or the week after, we're probably going to see it again. So they're going to tell a story between these two guys, I'm sure. And with Corbin, you know, if they keep kind of beating him in this way and making him out to be more and more of a loser, especially if he starts walking around feeling sorry for himself, what they're going to end up doing is they're going to turn this fucking guy babyface. That's what's going to end up happening. Now, I've heard Corbin made a comment recently in some interview about wanting to go back to the old lone wolf gimmick that he was doing in NXT, and he was doing it when he first came to the main roster, that he wants to be the lone wolf again. First of all, I got news for you. He wasn't that interesting when he was the lone wolf. People sometimes, they romanticize these things. Oh, I miss Baron Corbin when he was the lone wolf. You know, yeah, maybe it was better than this happy Corbin stuff and a lot of the stuff they've had him doing, but let's not pretend that he was that much more interesting as the lone wolf. At this point, look, you could try whatever. Can't hurt to try new things. He wants to go back to the lone wolf. I mean, he doesn't have the long hair anymore. He doesn't have the skullet. But yeah, he could be the lone wolf. No harm in it. You can't get much lower than where he is now. But if they keep beating him and beating him and beating him and everybody makes fun of him and... yeah, what's going to end up happening is they're going to create some level of sympathy for this guy, and they may well end up turning him babyface out of all this. Maybe that's the ultimate goal. Maybe that's the long-term goal here. The only time I ever had sympathy for Corbin is when he was bumming it. Broke-ass, bum-ass Baron Corbin. I don't get the sense they have any desire to go back to doing that. I don't know that he wants to go back to doing that. Because then he'd have to walk around looking like that all the time. But anyway, good debut here for Cameron Grimes, and definitely not the last of the issues between these two. So then it was time for the return. The return of our champion. Guess who came back to work? Yes, Roman Reigns, the Undisputed Champion, was back to work tonight. Making his first appearance in over a month. He and the entire bloodline out to the ring. He was in a jumpsuit as he came to the ring for a promo. As they were coming to the ring, Michael Cole on commentary said that Paul Heyman was glancing back, which he was. He was glancing back at the World Heavyweight Championship, which they have sitting on a podium on stage on every show, as they will continue to do between now and Night of Champions. And he said that he was glancing back at the World Heavyweight title, which the bloodline claims is a consolation prize. That's what Michael Cole said. That's what Paul Heyman said. I love that they're openly admitting it now on television. I love it when the truth seeps out on TV and they're actually honest for a change. That's exactly what it is. The bloodline are not the only ones who think that belt is a consolation prize. Now Michael Cole is admitting to it on television. So Roman is in the ring, and he asks Knoxville, Tennessee, to acknowledge him. And they boo. He pointed out that the men in the ring are the only ones to main event both nights of WrestleMania, which is exactly what happened, right? The Usos headline night one, Roman headline night two, all part of the same faction, all part of the same family. They haven't been doing two-night WrestleManias for that long, so it's not a huge sample size, but that's impressive enough to say that they're the first ones to ever do that, which is true. He said when the tribal chief is not around, somebody has to step up. So who stepped up? He said Solo stepped up. I always step up. He said that they had some concerns about Solo when they first brought him in. But Solo is a shark. Look at the Matt Riddle problem, he said. Look at the Riddle problem. Look at how he solved the riddle. Then he brought up Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, and the fans chanted for Sami. Roman told Solo not to worry about that. He told him that Sami and KO, they're not the problem, but there is a problem. And that problem is not Sami and it's not Kevin. That problem is Solo's brothers, Jimmy and Jay. He walked over to the Usos. He said, "You dedicate your match to me and you lose," which is what the Usos did. They dedicated their match to Roman Reigns and they went out there against Owens and Zayn and they lost. You dedicate your match to me and you lose. He said, "I'm not even in a tag team. We literally have Hall of Fame teams in our family. And you go out and you dedicate the match to me." He said, "He tries to leave. I try to take some time for myself. What do? You embarrass me. You know better than this. Apologize." And I'm watching Roman Reigns standing in this ring like an angry father yelling at his children, telling them to apologize. And I just can't help but think that had Tony Khan done this 8 months ago, that we wouldn't have the problems we have now, where people don't want to meet with each other and they're threatening legal problems and they're still not on the same page. If Tony Khan would have done what Roman Reigns did here in the segment, maybe this all could have been avoided. So he's telling them to apologize. He said he doesn't want to see anything come out of their mouths unless it is the words, "I'm sorry," or "I apologize, my tribal chief." Jimmy was talking to Jay. They had, you know, Jimmy had a smile on his face, almost like he wasn't really taking any of this seriously. He's saying something to Jay. And Roman sees that he has a smile on his face, and he asked him, "Are you laughing?" And he puts his finger in Jimmy's chest and kind of shoves him backwards. He said, "If I were you, I would apologize." He says, "What am I to you? Am I a clown? Am I a clown again?" And then he turned and he pie-faced Jimmy. The crowd reacted to that, and Jimmy had a look on his face like, you know, maybe he was going to stand up to this guy and he wasn't going to take his shit. And he went to go step towards Roman. Jay then stepped in the way. Jay trying to defuse the situation. He stepped in the way. And he apologized to Roman on their behalf. And he told Roman Reigns, "You give us one more shot, and we will bring the tag team championships back to the bloodline." Roman said, "You're right. You're right. The tag team titles are going to come home to the bloodline." And he told the wise man to fill them in on the news. So Paul Heyman took the microphone and he said that Roman Reigns told him to go and pull every string that he could with the board of directors to get it done. And here it is. He said the undisputed tag team titles come home to the bloodline at Night of Champions. It will be Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn losing the tag team titles to, and of course the Usos thought that he was going to say their names, and instead Heyman said, "Solo Sikoa and the tribal chief Roman Reigns." And Jay at first was looking at his brother, and as soon as Heyman made that announcement, Jay kind of snapped backwards and turned to face Heyman like he couldn't believe what he had just heard. And you know what's funny about all this? We just had Roman Reigns here in this promo talking of, he was exasperated, like, "You dedicate this match to me at WrestleMania and television a few weeks ago, they lost the rematch. You dedicate this match to me. I'm not even a tag team wrestler." Well, now he is. Not even 5 minutes later, Roman Reigns is announced for a tag team match at Night of Champions, teaming with Solo Sikoa against Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. Roman then said that he was dedicating he and Solo's victory at Night of Champions to the greatest tag team of all time, Afa and Sika, the Wild Samoans. And I thought that that was a nice, clever little troll job on the Usos there. So Roman Reigns is now going to challenge for the Undisputed Tag Team titles as well. We're going for Roman Four Belts in Saudi Arabia. Boy, I'm sure glad they kept those other two titles on Roman at WrestleMania. The drama between Roman and the Usos continues. It's fun to watch. I enjoyed the segment. again, I just have this feeling as I'm watching this, though. We're going back to Owens and Zayn again with Roman and the Bloodline. And, you know, it just doesn't have the same feeling that it had before, because it just feels like we're almost playing the greatest hits now, right? The story is not yet done playing out as far as the implosion of the Bloodline. That has to be the ultimate kind of final chapter to this story. That has yet to be written. How long these final chapters are going to be is up to WWE and Vince McMahon. But the interplay between Roman and the Usos, and Jey Uso is always great in these segments. So I enjoyed that, but I just can't shake that feeling that, you know, we've passed the peak. This thing peaked going into WrestleMania, and now we're kind of off peak a little bit. And Roman still has the titles, even though he's never around. And now we're going back to Kevin, and we're going back to Sammy. And it just feels like we kind of went this way when we should have gone this way. That's how I feel about this entire thing. There's a way to tell this story with the implosion of the Bloodline and Roman having an issue with his cousins. But not have, you know, the two world championships still in the stable here. But that's the path they chose, and so here we are. But the bigger surprise here, though, is that Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn are going to Saudi Arabia. Now, there's still 2 weeks left before the show. So is it possible that Sami Zayn could be taken out of the match, that he could be attacked or something can happen between now and then? It's possible, but that would be incredibly stupid. What are you going to do? You going to take Sammy out and have Riddle take his place? No, that would be dumb. So they're going. You know, they're going to Saudi Arabia, and it's surprising because for the first time in the 5 years, the WWE has been running shows over there. This will be the first time that Sami Zayn goes on the trip. Kevin Owens, he actually was at the very first Saudi show, the Greatest Royal Rumble, so this will not be his first. But I don't believe he has appeared in or on any of the Saudi shows since then. I think it was that first one in 2018. I don't believe he's been on any of them since. So I just wonder what changed. You know, perhaps we'll find out. But Night of Champions usually means they have all the titles defended, so it would only make sense that the tag team titles would be on the line, and so that's what we're going to be getting in Night of Champions. And clearly, the Usos are going to factor into the finish in some way, and they're going to, in some way, shape, or form, they're going to cost Roman and Solo the match, and that is going to lead to even bigger problems coming out of that pay-per-view between the members of the Bloodline. So we have Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez against Bayley and Dakota Kai, representing Damage Control for the Women's Tag Team Championships here. Liv and Raquel, they were wearing matching yellow outfits. During the match, they briefly cut to the back. They showed the NXT Women's Tag Team Champions, Isla Dawn and Alba Fire, standing watching on a monitor. And hopefully we get those titles merged soon. I talked about this last Sunday. The thing to do, the solution to the problem here, and this is a problem, is to merge the two. One set of women's tag team champions, let them defend the titles on all three shows. Don't know if that's what they're going to do, but that's what they absolutely should do. Because the last fucking thing this company needs are two sets of women's tag team belts. So Rodriguez hit a pair of fallaway slams on Dakota coming out of the commercial break. She tried to follow up with a corkscrew elbow. Kai rolled out of the way and tagged out. The tag team champions, they came right back. Rodriguez picked up Morgan, used her as a battering ram. Morgan got caught up in the heel corner. Bayley held up Liv, and Dakota tagged in. She hit a double stomp on Morgan, who was elevated. Michael Cole called it a meteora, but really it was a double stomp. And he said that Dakota may have tweaked her knee on the way down. And Dakota yelled out. She was screaming. The referee came over to check on her, and you know, you get concerned at first because it's very possible she did something to her knee, but then it became pretty clear it was all just selling on her part. Bayley had Io Sky outside the ring. Io was in their corner. Bayley had Io go and grab one of the women's tag team belts while Dakota had the referee distracted. Raquel then cut off Io, knocked her off the apron, and Liv Morgan rolled up Bayley and pinned her. An okay match. The story was the miscommunication there at the end involving damage control and EO, which ultimately cost them the match. And it's the same thing that happened at Backlash when Bayley and Dakota came down to try to help EO. It ended up blowing up in their face. And it cost EO Sky the match against Bianca Belair. So they're building to a damage control split, which they need to be doing because EO Sky, is ready to break out on her own. But they're going to drag this out for a while, and we'll see, you know, when they decide to finally pull the trigger on this. But obviously, that's where this story is going, and I support it. This faction should have been broken up a while ago. Better late than never. The Brawling Brutes, they were backstage with Rich Holland, or Ridge Holland. Oh, you can call him Rich. You know, he works for WWE. He may be rich. I haven't seen his bank account. I don't know. But it was Ridge Holland and Butch. They were trying to cheer up Sheamus after his loss earlier in the Triple Threat match when they were interrupted by the newly drafted Pretty Deadly from NXT. It was Elton Prince and Kit Wilson. They had clipboards in their hands. Sheamus asked which one was pretty and which one was deadly. They asked if they should, Pretty Deadly asked if they should put down intelligent grunt to describe Butch. And Butch had to be restrained by Sheamus and Ridge. And then they walked away, and Sheamus said, "You'll find out." If you've never seen Pretty Deadly before, I know a lot of you probably don't bother watching NXT. But if you've never seen Pretty Deadly before, they are a very good team. Very good team, which is what this show needs more of. So very happy to see them on the main roster. They were in Knoxville tonight, which of course is the hometown of Bianca Belair, who is the Raw Women's Champion, who is out for a championship celebration here on SmackDown. So the ring was set up with balloons in all four corners. Bianca, she greeted her friends and she greeted her family at ringside when she came out. She posed on the ropes. Before she could speak, she was interrupted by Asuka's theme music. This was Asuka's first appearance since her loss to Bianca at WrestleMania. She was dressed in her street clothes. She walked down to the ring, and she offered Bianca a handshake. And she didn't have her clown makeup on. She had, I think, green gloves on, but no clown makeup. So she extended her hand for a handshake. And Bianca smiled, and she accepted. And then Asuka sprayed green mist in her face. And Bianca flopped around the ring and was screaming. She flopped around like a fish, and she sold like Shawn Michaels in the ring with Hulk Hogan at SummerSlam. She was bouncing all over the place. She acted all blinded. Trainers and referees came in to try to help her. And when this segment was over, and I say this as an Asuka fan, I'm a big fan of Asuka and her work over the years. When she first came back, I think it was at the Royal Rumble, and she had Kana murder clown makeup, I said, all right, finally, we're getting some character development here for Asuka. And then we got none. I watch what they did here, and I'm not going to sit here and tell you that, well, now this is going to be part of some kind of renewed push for Asuka as a heel, and they're going to develop the character in ways that they didn't a few months ago, whatever that looks like. No, I'm not expecting that at all. What this is very simple. In 2 weeks, we have a show called Night of Champions. And Bianca Belair is a champion in this company, which means she has to defend her title. And what they need is an opponent for Bianca Belair to go in there and work with. And they don't have anybody else. They haven't prepared anybody else. So they're taking Asuka and they're just throwing her in there because they need somebody to put in the ring with Bianca on that show. This is not some sort of renewed Asuka push. But my issue with this, as much as I like Asuka, is we're right back in the same program we had going into WrestleMania. And the only thing I can hope is in these 2 weeks that they do something. They have one really good segment, one really good, you know, maybe face-to-face or something involving these two women. Better than what they gave us in the lead-up to their WrestleMania match. I don't know what they're going to do. I mean, they had Bianca misted. Maybe she's going to be blind for the next 2 weeks. She'll walk out like Ray Charles next week. I mean, I don't know. We'll see. But, you know, my issue with this is just that we we just had a pay-per-view called Backlash. And we had that great match with Bianca and Io Sky. But if you're going to do a WrestleMania rematch, Backlash would have been the time for it. We're right back to what we were doing at WrestleMania. This woman got drafted away from Monday Night Raw. She's the champion. And she took her title with her to a totally different show. This was supposed to be a shakeup. We're going to get everything's going to be all refreshed now. And we're right back to where we were at WrestleMania. But the reason that we're right back to where we are is because there is nobody on that women's roster on SmackDown right now who is ready to be a viable challenger for Bianca Belair in 2 weeks. They have two pay-per-views this month. Backlash came and went. Now we have another event coming up. Who are you going to build up? Look at the SmackDown roster. Go to WWE.com right now and look at the women they have on SmackDown. You're going to see people like Zelina Vega. You're going to see who I think is on SmackDown, right? Because LWO is on SmackDown. And Zelina just challenged Rhea for the SmackDown title, even though Rhea's on Raw now. But technically, Zelina just had a championship match. So you see Zelina and you see Damage Control. Well, Damage Control has their own story going on right now. And the last fucking thing we need is more Bianca Belair and Damage Control, right? We've already done that. Charlotte is not around. So take her out of the equation. Liv and Raquel are the women's tag team champions. Alba and Isla, they're the NXT women's tag team champions. And you'll find a few other female faces, none of whom are ready to be in the position as somebody who could credibly challenge Bianca Belair. That's why we're getting Asuka. I can't even say that they're making the wrong decision because there's nobody else. So they got their work cut out for them if they're going to really build up some people, because Bianca's been champion for over a year. It's kind of like the Roman and the Gunther thing where she's been so dominant for so long and she's so head and shoulders above most of the other women in that division. She's excellent. Who do you put her in the ring with? Who do you feud her with? You just had a draft. It's going to take time to build up some people that you could put in the ring with her. Need somebody in 2 weeks? Throw Asuka in there. That's really all this is. The main event was AJ Styles one-on-one with Bobby Lashley. The winner of this match will meet Seth Rollins at Night of Champions for the World Heavyweight title. Lashley had a nasty lump. A lump or a bump, whatever you want to call it. It was right there on top of it. You could see it. It's like he had a horn sticking out from the top of his head. He got busted open by the steps earlier in the night. Did not take very long. It took a matter of seconds for the stitches to open and for that wound to be opened up. Lashley rammed AJ on, he had AJ on his shoulders, and he rammed him headfirst into the ring post outside. That took us into the final commercial break. We came back. Lashley still had control until AJ rolled Lashley into a calf crusher. Lashley worked out of it, and again, he was bleeding pretty heavily at this point. Styles worked over his head with punches. Lashley got the hurt lock applied until Styles got to the ropes for a break. Action spilled outside. Lashley went to go run Styles into the ring post. AJ countered. He ran Lashley into the ring post. And then back inside, AJ teased the phenomenal forearm. Lashley cut him off and lifted Styles up for a suplex. AJ fought out of it. Lashley went for a spear, but he hit the ring post when AJ moved out of the way. Styles then landed a knee to Lashley's head, and then he landed the phenomenal forearm, and he pinned him to advance to the finals at Night of Champions. It will be AJ Styles one-on-one with Seth Rollins. One of those two men will leave the new World Heavyweight Champion representing Monday Night Raw, even though AJ just got drafted to SmackDown. And AJ walked up onto the stage, stood right next to the podium where they had the World Heavyweight title on display. The other members of the OC, Mee Chin and Karl Anderson, Luke Gallows, they walked out to celebrate with AJ. Here's a question to ponder. Not that it's going to matter because he's not winning. But here's a question to ponder. If AJ were to win the World Heavyweight title, I would presume he would be moved to Monday Night Raw. Does the entire OC move with him? I mean, they were drafted together as a package, right? They all got drafted together as a group. So if AJ were to win, do all four of them get moved over, or is it just AJ Styles? One of those questions we'll never get an answer to, but it's a valid question to ask. Not going to matter, though, because Seth Rollins is going to be the new World Heavyweight Champion. I have the same objections to them creating a new title that I had before. I know why they're doing it. It should never have gotten to this point, but I mentioned that just because, even though I have those objections, we are getting Seth Rollins one-on-one with AJ Styles at Night of Champions. And I can't hate on that, because that's going to be a hell of a match. It's been almost a year. The last time they had a singles match was on Raw. It was a year ago almost, in June of last year. And every time they've been in the ring, and they've had a whole bunch of singles matches, probably half a dozen singles matches over the years, and they've always been very good. Like, we know what these two guys can do in the ring together, let alone you put them in a championship match on pay-per-view. And this is AJ's first really big match. Really, the matches tonight, these were his first matches back, his first big matches back since the broken ankle. And it goes back even further than that. Even before AJ broke his ankle, what was the last really significant match AJ Styles was a part of? It's been a long time. So his match tonight, I liked his triple threat more than I did the other one. The match with Lashley I thought was good. But the match at Night of Champions, this is going to be his biggest match in a very long time. And even though he's not going to win, I'm looking forward to it. This week's episode is sponsored by ExpressVPN. Everybody knows about their web browser's incognito mode, but have you ever taken the time to read the fine print when you open it up? It says your activity might still be visible to your employer, to your school, or your internet service provider. That doesn't really sound very incognito to me. If you want to really stop people from seeing the sites that you visit, you need to do what I do and use ExpressVPN. Just think of all the times that you have used Wi-Fi at a hotel, at an arena, maybe if you're there for SmackDown or Dynamite, if they have free Wi-Fi, even at your parents' house. Without ExpressVPN, every site you visit can be logged by whoever is running that network. If your privacy is important to you, you don't want other people to know every website that you're on. Even scarier, here in the U.S., your home internet provider can record your browsing data and then sell that data to advertisers. ExpressVPN is an app that encrypts all of your network data and reroutes it through a network of secure servers so your private online activity stays private. ExpressVPN works on all of your devices also. It's unbelievably easy to use. It's what I like most about it. You tap one button to connect, and just like that, your activity is secure from prying eyes. So stop letting strangers invade your online privacy. Protect yourself at expressvpn.com/solomonster. Use my link at expressvpn.com/solomonster to get 3 extra months free. That's expressvpn.com/solomonster to learn more. I got to give credit to Bobby Lashley. This guy got his head split open in the opening match, bleeding like a fucking dog. Finished the match, went to the bag, got stitched up, came back out, bleeding within seconds. Wrestled another full match that went almost 15 minutes, lost, but, you know, wrestled with what I'm sure was a huge gash on top of his head. Credit to him for that. Now, one man had to win, one man had to lose. The thing about Styles and Bobby Lashley, the two guys that we saw in the main event tonight are the two biggest fresh opponents that Roman Reigns now has coming out of this draft. Those are two men that Roman has not worked with this entire world championship run that he's been on since winning the Universal title in 2020. So I hate that Lashley had to lose, because I think Lashley should be the one first up against Roman at Money in the Bank. And they could still do that even though he lost here. But Styles and Lashley, those are two guys that Roman has to work with. You know, you're going to keep the belts on Roman for the foreseeable future. I don't know how you don't do those two matches. But I think Lashley is going to be the one who comes up first. Overall, I thought this was a very good show. And the two triple threats tonight were better than the two triple threats that we got on Monday night. I preferred these two. Now, next Friday, Roman Reigns and Solo Sikoa, they're going to have a face-off with the Undisputed Tag Team Champions, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. Now on Monday Night Raw, are coming back to SmackDown, so they weren't away for too long. Rey Mysterio and Santos Escobar take on the Usos. Pretty Deadly is going to take on Ridge Holland and Butch. And AJ Styles will be the guest on the Grayson Waller Effect. These two have history together. AJ and Waller worked an angle. They worked a match against each other in NXT. So these two are no strangers to each other. They'll be in the ring next week. Take a look at the Twitter poll. Roughly 75% thumbs up and 25% thumbs down. Very positive score. A lot of people like SmackDown tonight. I like SmackDown as well. That's what happens when you give people some good wrestling. Some good wrestling and some good storytelling. That's the recipe for a good show. This is not that hard. Really isn't. We're not trying to fuse the atom here. This is professional wrestling. This stuff really shouldn't be that hard. I don't know why sometimes it is. Thank you guys that have sent in Super Chats. I will get to your messages here. So if you have any you want to send, go ahead and send them on in. The goal for Be the Booker, we're still way off, so we may not hit the goal tonight. Go ahead and hit that thumbs up. We'll see. We pull out the buzzer beater, which the Knicks did not do tonight. Chris Miner with a $9.99. Has there ever been a You People heel turn that you felt they were justified in actually blaming the fans? He says, for me, it is The Rock remembering the Die Rocky Die chants back in his turn in 98. Yeah, his name is Bret Hart. When he talked about You People being the American wrestling fans, it was after WrestleMania 13. T. Whitley. Hey, Solo, with all the talk about Roman's title reign, who finally beats Gunther? Intercontinental title, and who finally beats Bianca Belair for her title? I have no idea who WWE is going to pick to beat Bianca Belair. I really don't. I can see it being Charlotte Flair. I hate that I keep coming back to her, but I think all roads lead back to her. Those two are definitely going to have a program that I think is going to build to a WrestleMania. I think WrestleMania 40 is Bianca and Charlotte. The only question is, does Bianca go into the show as champion? See, I don't think she does. I think she loses it maybe to Charlotte earlier than that and then challenges to get it back. I don't see her dropping it until she gets in the ring with Charlotte. And as far as Gunther is concerned, I don't even know who's in this battle royal on Monday night. I mean, I wanted it to be Sheamus. It's not going to be Sheamus because Sheamus is now on a different show. I don't know what Drew McIntyre's status is going to be. He's been drafted to Raw. And I could see him beating Gunther. But I don't know. I don't know. Down bad. I will bet anything that Bianca will come out next Friday dancing and twirling her braid, acting like she did not just get blinded the week before. I'm telling you, it would be kind of funny if she came out with the shades on, just kind of pretending like, you know, have somebody with her kind of guiding her so she doesn't bump into the barricade and stuff. You know, and then at the end she can reveal that it was all just an act and she can go after Asuka. Yeah, she should not come out next week smiling and twirling her braid. J-Glo with the $4.99. After watching tonight's show, I am convinced that the crazy old man, the head of creative in Triple H, is nothing more than a puppet. C. Moonsault, enough of the boring wrestling questions. I'm not answering that. C. Moonsault, thank you for the $4.99. This is a wrestling show here. Jay Glow, Roman Reigns says that he is the GOAT. What exactly is the criteria? Best in-ring performer. Best on the mic. Biggest draw. He is not in my top five in any of those categories. What do you think? Roman is a heel. Heels come out and they call themselves the GOAT. That's how wrestling works. The criteria is up to you. The criteria for what makes up the best is up to the individual. Some people base it on someone's popularity and how big of a star they were. Other people base it on how much money they generated. How much money did they make for the company? How big of a ticket seller were they? Did they move ratings? Did they sell pay-per-views? Were they the face of the company? Some people base it on in-ring work. There is no set criteria. It is up to the individual. That's why everybody, when you ask the question about Mount Rushmore, has a different answer. Who's on your Mount Rushmore? Everyone has a different answer for who's on their Mount Rushmore. Roman Reigns at this point is not... I mean, he's not at the top of any of those categories. You know, he's going to go down as one of the biggest stars they've ever had. I mean, look at the run they have him on right now. Right, he's not done yet. He's still a young guy, relatively speaking. He's a young guy. But is he in the top five in ring? No. Is he in the top five on promos? No. Is he the top five biggest draw? No. And even when he's done, he may not be. They call everybody the GOAT. Don't take anything they say on television seriously. The announcers call John Cena the GOAT every time he makes an appearance. When Austin shows up, they call him the GOAT. Roman calls himself the GOAT. I mean, it's just everybody is the greatest. Brian H. DeGreenboy with the $10 super chat. This was an excellent show tonight. I really enjoyed it. I love AJ and Lashley, so I was going to be happy no matter who won. I just hope Lashley is okay after that nasty gash, but great show overall. He'll be fine. He's gotten hurt worse than that. KC, do you see the Usos turning on Roman and Solo at Night of Champions by interfering and letting Sammy and KO win the match? I don't see them turning on Roman. I think that they're definitely going to... I mean, turning on him in the sense that they're breaking away from the bloodline and they're just saying, you know, fuck it, we got to take this guy down. No. Will there come a point in the match where they get involved and it kind of backfires? Maybe there's a question about, did they intend for that to happen or did they not intend for that to happen? Yeah, that's the story they're going to tell with these four. The actual turn, once the Usos, or at least Jey Uso, finally say enough and they split away from Roman, that's not going to happen in Night of Champions. That's still a little ways off. Rodimus Prime with the 10 spot says, don't know where you find these songs, but they are dope, especially the one in the intro. Thank you. Glad you enjoyed it. YouTube does not make it easy. Man, the songs I would use if I had the rights to use them. You wouldn't even want the stream to begin. I would just play the music out. So it's always a challenge, but I'm glad you enjoyed it. Wolf Club is a great band. Actually, a bunch of their songs I like. They have a song called Summer Nights and Binary Stars. And I can't play those, but I enjoy their music. I'm a big fan of like 80s kind of retro wave. There's so many genres and like subgenres of music. There's retro wave and synth wave. 80s retro wave is actually like a category. It's like a genre unto itself. And, I'm a big fan of it. Brian says, I feel like they did a great job building sympathy for the Usos, and I love seeing Pretty Deadly because they are a guilty pleasure of mine. They are very good. The real CS02, Solo is the GOAT. See, there's another example. Solo Sikoa is the GOAT. Are you talking about me? Or Solo Sikoa? Everybody's the GOAT. It's like Oprah giving out cards. You're the GOAT. You're the GOAT. You'll get a GOAT. You get a GOAT. You get a GOAT. You ever watch QVC? Sometimes they have the baby goats. You ever see the baby goats on QVC? You gotta watch. They're the cutest. It makes me want to actually have a goat. I want to go buy a goat. I don't think my landlord would like that very much. Tanya, thank you for the $1.99. Bobbert Reviews, $100 super chat bomb from 40 minutes ago. Bobbert's been very busy in the chat tonight. I think I saw Bobbert gift a membership or two. Drop a couple of super chats. Bobbert, thank you. T. Whitley, $4 super chat. Primetime with the $49.99. I watched one of my favorite wrestling documentaries earlier, Beyond the Mat. Yesterday, I rewatched Wrestling with Shadows. I have not seen either in almost 10 years. Which wrestling documentaries do you recommend? As always, thanks for all you do. those are kind of the gold standard. Those are two of the better ones. Nigel McGuinness had a really good one many years ago when he was forced into retirement. He was on his retirement tour called The Last of McGuinness, which I reviewed on the Sound Off at the time. I don't remember which episode. And it was kind of depressing. He was very, very, you could tell he was very down about his whole situation, but that was a very good documentary. There've been a lot of them. You know, Wrestling Road Diaries from many years ago. There've been a lot of them. And WWE has worked on some really good ones, and on some of their old DVDs. You know, the Lex Luger one they did on A&E. We never got the Icons Lex Luger one. But I have a feeling the A&E special borrowed a lot of material from the Icons episode that never aired on Peacock. And, of course, there's the documentary that I've been waiting to see for over a year that WWE refuses to release for reasons that have never been explained on Vladimir, the superfan. So, they should release that very soon instead of keeping it hostage. I don't know why they won't release it, but it's very stupid, very frustrating. Bobby's World with the $28. Tsunami Splash says, so, manager's on vacation. Assistant manager was recovering from surgery. Co-worker stopped showing up, and I worked the week with what might have been a concussion. Being here with you in the chat is a good way to start rest and recovery. Ooh, not good. How many fingers am I holding up here? Huh? No, concussions are no fun. Hopefully that's not what it is. Sorry to hear that. But thank you again for all the support tonight, Bobby. You are definitely showing up in a big way tonight, but I hope you feel better, man. Chris Auditor. Hope you're doing well, Sala Monster. I am. Where the hell is LA Knight? Say it a little louder so the people in the back can hear you. I don't know where LA Knight is. Now I'm hearing that they might have plans for an LA Knight tag team, him and somebody in a tag team. I don't know what the fuck they're doing. Brandon Vasquez, who should Edge face in his final match? How about Baron Corbin? Just kidding, although he does have experience in this spot. Yeah, don't remind me. I always thought Edge against Kevin Owens would be a fun match, but that was when Owens was a heel. Now they're not even on the same shelf. I still feel that way, though. I still feel like Edge and Owens would be really good. Look, Edge and Logan Paul is a match they can do. But for his final opponent should be Christian Cage. If not Owens, I would go Christian Cage. Probably no chance of that happening at this point, because I don't think Edge is going to be around that long for Christian to come back, but that really should be his final match. The Real CS says, I'm talking about the Sala Monster, damn it. Well, thank you for clarifying. I wasn't sure if you were talking about me, if you were talking about Solo Sikoa. You got to specify which Solo you're talking about. Justin Salinari, I got a question. I'm trying to get my friend into wrestling. Any advice of what matches or segments I should show him? What kind of matches do you think he would enjoy? Would he enjoy the more technical matches, or would he enjoy more of the sports entertainment type stuff? Because if he's into sports entertainment, tell him to watch that Bad Bunny Damian Priest match from Backlash last week. I mean, I can give you a whole list of great wrestling matches, but I don't know if that's the kind of thing he's going to be into. I mean, I would tell you, show him Bret Hart and Steve Austin, WrestleMania 13. Show him that match. Show him Bret Hart and Steve Austin at WrestleMania 13. That's a match that really feels like a fight. You got blood, you got drama. Show him that match. Show him that match, or show him the Hell in a Cell between Shawn Michaels and The Undertaker. Both of them from 97, by the way. Two of the best matches in company history. Still talked about to this very day. All happened in the same year. Manuel, with with the $5. Not sure if you've talked about this, but does Vince have an influence on when Roman loses the title? Do you think Cody will eventually get his win? I think Cody will eventually get his win. It may not be over Roman Reigns, but I do think eventually he'll get his win. Does Vince have influence on when Roman loses the titles? Absolutely. Absolutely. Vince has influence on anything he wants to have influence on. That is one of the biggest creative... That is the single biggest creative decision that they can control. And, of course, Vince McMahon is going to have influence over it. Absolutely. Bobby's World says, I forgot Fire Panda wanted someone to tell you hi. She had to split from the chat early. Well, if Fire Panda is watching this on the replay, I'm sorry that you can't be with us right now. I better see you back here in the chat next week. And Slim Yoshi, who is down for Io Sky to win this year's Money in the Bank? Although, knowing Triple H, he would probably have Raquel win, but it still should be Io. It's not going to be Raquel. Raquel's doing the tag team thing right now. Keep her there. I think Io is a definite candidate for Money in the Bank. I'm trying to think of the women they just called up. Yeah, I wouldn't even count out... I was going to say Zoe Stark, but may not be that likely, but I wouldn't discount the possibility of taking someone like a Zoe Stark who just got called up and trying to, you know, kind of shock people by having her go over. I mean, there's Io. God, I mean, there's... I'm trying to think, who's on the Raw roster now? Rhea, Becky, Trish, Piper Niven, Xia Li, Chelsea Green. SmackDown, we have Bianca, we have Asuka, we have Charlotte. Charlotte doesn't need Money in the Bank. Remember, she's got Charlotte in the bank, so take her out of it. She doesn't need that. You know what? Io may be the front runner. Now that you mention it. Io could very well be the front runner. I need to get a copy of the women's roster in front of me. Hold on a second. I am going to take a look at WWE.com right now. I want to take a look at these women's rosters right now on Raw and SmackDown, and then I can give you a better answer. See, I'm putting in the work for this super chat here. All right, so looking at the Raw roster right now, on the women's side, we have Becky Lynch, Candice LeRae, Chelsea Green. So look, I mean, Becky could win Money in the Bank. I don't know how long this... My guess is this feud with Trish is going to go all the way to SummerSlam. So I don't think she'll win Money in the Bank, but very possible she could win. Candice LeRae, no. Chelsea Green, no. Dana Brooke, that's pretty funny. Emma, no. Indy Hartwell was just drafted to Monday Night Raw. We'll call her possible. Katana Chance and Caden Carter, no, they're doing a tag team thing. Liv Morgan is the women's tag team champion, so she's a no. And she already won money. She won Money in the Bank last year. Maxine Dupree is not wrestling. Natalia, oh God, no, she doesn't need it. Nikki Cross? No. Piper Niven is possible. Raquel, I'm going to say no right now. Ronda Rousey. Forgot about her. I know her and Shayna are doing the tag team thing right now. You can never count out them doing something with Ronda. So we'll call her a possible. Sonya Deville, no. Tegan Knox, no. Trish, no. Zoe Stark, Dark Horse, maybe. And Xia Li, no. So that takes care of the Raw roster. We look over on the SmackDown roster. And let's see who we have over there. We have Alba Fire and Isla Dawn. Take them out. They're not going to win. Asuka. I mean, if she's getting a match with Bianca now, then no, she's not winning Money in the Bank. B-Fab, no. Bayley, no. Bianca, no. Charlotte doesn't need it. Dakota Kai, no. Io, she's the front runner right now. We have got Lacey Evans, no. Meechin, no. Scarlett has not wrestled yet. Shotzi, no. Tamina, no. And Zelina Vega, no. So, you know what? I think Io Sky is the front runner. I think you may be right. Let's see. We got the real CS. In my opinion, it is sad that they don't have anybody to challenge Roman because of the draft, that they have Roman fighting for the tag team titles. It's feeding into a story they're telling with the Usos. Like, I get why they're doing it, but I agree. It's just silly to think that they have this guy who is so dominant with two titles, and instead of having him defend them, they're having him wrestle for the tag team titles. It's like a time killer, basically. So you're not wrong. Rock versus Sting. Happy Friday. Awesome stream, as always. Thank you, brother. And Tyler the Ghost, who do you think should win the men's Money in the Bank? Here we go. Who do I think should win the men's Money in the Bank? Cody Rhodes should win the men's Money in the Bank. Now, who I think should win and who I think will win may end up being two wildly different things. Cody should win. Cody should win, and then he should go to SummerSlam and challenge Roman. You know, if it's not him, I still would love to see LA Knight win the briefcase. He is not being pushed at that level right now. It's hard to imagine at this exact moment. I mean, we haven't even seen him on television since the draft. But if they weren't going to go big with Cody winning and then using it to cash in on Roman, you know, early, then I would absolutely support an LA Knight Money in the Bank win. He would be my pick. And then let him, it would almost be like a Mr. Kennedy thing. When Kennedy won the briefcase, I think the plan was for him to hold on to it. He was going to hold on to it until WrestleMania the following year. He probably was going to win the championship. And he fucked himself out of that whole thing. But I shouldn't even say he fucked himself. He really did get screwed over with the injury. They thought it was more serious than it was. He screwed himself out of other opportunities later on, but yeah, that's who I think should win the men's Money in the Bank. Jey Uso is another possibility. That's absolutely true. Says Sean in the chat. Jey Uso could win Money in the Bank as well. So the goal was 450, and we just hit the Be the Booker goal, 452. See, you guys always come through, man. You guys always come through for me. You put a little scare into me, but in the end, it usually works out. So thank you for that very much. You like that, don't you? Let's go ahead and be the booker.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to be the booker.
We got Roman Reigns back on SmackDown, so we had to get Roman Reigns back here in the art for be the booker. And, we will begin with the men's be the booker. Spin, spin, spin. Where it stops, nobody knows. It stops on The Miz. There he is with his WWE title in the Thunderdome. I often forget that The Miz won the WWE Championship again in the Thunderdome. Didn't last very long, so it's easy to forget. So we have The Miz going one-on-one with Shawn Michaels. This right here, this is 1996 Shawn Michaels. 1996 and 1997 Shawn Michaels was untouchable. It was impossible for him to have a bad match. The Miz may not be my favorite in the ring, not by a long shot, But that would be a good match. Not a great match, but that'd be a good match. All right, let's go to the women. See what we got cooking over here. Begin with Camille, who I believe is still the NWA Women's Champion, right? I don't think she's had the title taken from her yet. Camille Brickhouse. One-on-one with Jade Cargill. You know, this is a tough one because as a match, how good would the match be? But as an attraction, Camille and Jade? My finger slipped. And now you'll never know what button I was reaching for. Was I reaching for the bell or was I reaching for the buzzer? I guess you'll never know. All right, let's go to the tag teams. No, seriously, you're never going to know now. I'm not going to tell you. Over on the tag team side, well, look at this. I was just talking about these two, right? Edge's final opponent. Look at this. Edge and Christian come up first here in tag team Be the Booker. Former seven-time WWE Tag Team Champions. Edge and Christian against Sonya Deville and Mandy Rose. It's not only Sonya Deville and Mandy Rose, it's Sonya Deville and Mandy Rose eating donuts. And these donuts have never looked so good. I'd like to try those. I'd like to try their donuts. I think those are very tasty donuts. What do you think? But got to give that match the buzzer. Sorry. Can't give it the bell. Can't give it the bell. Even though they all have very similar hair. Can't give it the bell. And the real CS says, I'm a big Roman fan, but they should have had Cody beat Roman at WrestleMania. The Bloodline storyline has reached its well, all good stories must come to an end. It's going to be hard to match the great segments that we got with the Bloodline and Sami Zayn. That really was the peak, right? I mean, it can't get much better than that. It's all downhill from there. But the real CS, thank you, man. You've been dropping some super chat love tonight, man. I really appreciate that. So that's what Paul Heyman said. Hide your wives. It's Edge. And Edge, I think, didn't Edge do a spit take when he said that? Oh, no, when he said Matt Hardy's name, that's what it was. He said Matt Hardy's name. All the WWE guys were in the balcony at the Hammerstein drinking beer. And when Heyman mentioned Matt Hardy, he goes, I have two words for you, Matt freaking Hardy. And he did the spit take, and then he said, wait, that's three words. That's not two words, that's three words. Hey, Bobby's World just gifted yet another channel membership. Gifted it to Tyler the Ghost. Tyler, you should go ahead and thank Bobby, man. You're a channel member now. Congrats. All good stories must come to an end. Unless you're Triple H, then he never wants them to end. Well, look, I mean, I could see why. When you have a story as great as the Bloodline one, I wouldn't want it to end either, but every story has to end and you start new ones. Or you can be WWE and what they do sometimes, they'll take a story, a good story, and they'll just drive it into the ground. Hopefully that doesn't happen with the Bloodline. Thunder Force 2000, has Charlotte done all she can in WWE? No, she has not yet broken her father's record. She has not yet beaten someone to win the undisputed Universal WWE Championship. Charlotte will eventually hold the Big Gold World Heavyweight title. There's lots more for Charlotte to do. The main thing, though, is they're going to want to run her number of reigns up to beat her father. So, and that's going to happen within the next, you know, it depends. She's taken so much time off. So it's hard to say for sure, but I would say for sure within the next 3 years tops. Easily. she'll beat her father's record. You know, the thing to watch also is, you know, I've heard her make comments, I think, in interviews before about wanting to start a family. And, I mean, look, it's something that, you know, you have to take into consideration is that when you are a female performer in this company and you get to a certain age, it's a question that's going to come up. I mean, Carmella now is, you know, pregnant. She's expecting a child. Charlotte is what? What is Charlotte? I mean, is she 35? Right? 36? So if she really does want to start a family with Andrade, I mean, that's something that I would imagine she would be doing fairly soon. Now, plenty of women will let me look at Becky, right? Becky had a child and she came back. I'm sure Charlotte would come back at the first chance that she has. So I'm just thinking about it in terms of when she'll beat her father's record. It really all boils down to how much time she takes off. If she does want to start a family, that could kind of push the timeline back a little bit, but it's going to happen. It's going to happen. One way or the other, it's going to happen. Tyler the Ghost is green now. Thanks, Bobby. That's right. Thank Bobby's World for that. Delray Coles with a 999. Do you keep Roman with Heyman after the Bloodline breakup? Man, I would like to, just because they're such a good combo. I mean, I felt the same way about Brock and Heyman. I never really wanted to break them up again. But Roman and Heyman are just so good together. My guess is that when the Bloodline story has run its course, that will be the end of their association. I hope they keep them together for a while longer than that, though. I just think that, you know, they're a good combo. You know, Roman and the Wise Men, if they were going to turn Roman babyface eventually, which they will, or the fans will, then he probably wouldn't have Heyman with him. I hope they stay together. Alex Silva with a 499. What do you think Solo's reason for turning on Roman could be? Maybe having to spike his brothers or even his dad. I thought they were going to bring Rikishi in for a segment, I want to say maybe on the Raw 30th anniversary show. And I think did he have COVID or something? I think someone was sick and he couldn't make it in. I'm kind of surprised they haven't had Rikishi in up to this point to do some sort of angle, but I think that's what stopped them the last time. They were going to do something. Yeah, they were. Remember? Because they were going to have the Roman Reigns acknowledgement segment. They announced it on TV and they changed it. I think the reason they changed it is because some of the family members got sick. That's what I think happened. No, I don't think it's going to be Rikishi. I think it, as far as Solo, it's just going to get to a point where I think Roman, he's just had enough of his shit. And Solo doesn't take shit from anybody. I mean, he plays his part, right? He's the straight man in the group, rarely speaks, always has a scowl and a pissed off look on his face. All it takes is Roman to start pushing him around. Maybe he has a match, he doesn't win. Roman says, you know, you let me down. The Usos might take shit from Roman, but Solo won't. And I think he'll push back. You know, it's not in his character to say, I acknowledge you. It's not in his character to say, you know, you're my tribal chief, and to kind of just be subservient to him. He's loyal, but I can't imagine that Solo Sikoa character, you know, I acknowledge you, my tribal chief. I don't know. I just think Roman is going to take things too far. He's going to push him around. I always envisioned it like this. Let's just say that I'm right. And Cody Rhodes is going to wrestle Roman Reigns at SummerSlam, okay? And it doesn't even have to be Cody. Put anybody in there, okay? Put Mr. Rogers in there. Put fucking Bob Barker in there. Put anybody you want to in there. Roman goes to SummerSlam, and there's some sort of drama during the match. Solo is trying to help Roman just the way he did at WrestleMania, right? He helped him win. And it backfires. Or it doesn't work. And the other person kicks out. And maybe Roman is frustrated, right? Because the Usos maybe have walked out on him now. Solo's all he has left in this match. And it didn't work. And he mouths off to Solo. Maybe he starts pushing him around. Solo will turn around and just walk out on him. And I always said the end of Roman, the fall of the Roman Empire, so to speak, is when he loses Solo. When he loses Solo Sikoa, his last loyal foot soldier, that's the end. And then whoever is in the ring with Roman goes on to beat him in that match. Like that moment when he loses Solo Sikoa is the moment that marks the end of this championship run for Roman Reigns. And I still feel that way. Dig up Mr. Rogers. That's right. Dig him up. Dig up his bones. Put him in Ford Field. Solo should nail him from behind. A Roman betrayal staple. Yeah, I get that that's kind of what people do to Roman. They hit him from behind. But see, I wouldn't do that. I mean, maybe he spikes him, but I picture Solo just turning his back on him and walking away and getting a big pop. And Roman's like, where are you going? You know, and Solo just, he turns his back and walks off. I don't even think he has to attack him. Mr. Rogers passed away in 2003. Yeah, there was a movie. I guess it was a documentary, actually. Yeah, it was a documentary on his life that came out. The Mr. Rogers movie several years ago. I saw that. It was very, very good. Very emotional. Alex Silva, maybe instead of Jay, it is Jimmy against Roman at Money in the Bank. I don't see it. I don't see it. I don't like it. Jay is more of a viable singles challenger for Roman than Jimmy is. Jimmy against Roman does nothing for me. Jay against Roman would be a money match. Jimmy against Roman, to me, it just doesn't do anything. Do I think they split the tag team belts after Night of Champions? I don't. Tom Hanks movie? No, I'm talking about, there was a Mr. Rogers, I guess it was like a documentary, like an actual movie about his life that came out. I think that's something separate, I saw it many years ago. I think those are two separate things. It was very good, though. You know, what they should do is just create one set. I agree with BlissFan. I can't believe it, but I agree with BlissFan here. They should create one set of new tag team belts instead of just having them carry the four belts around all the time. Surprised they haven't worked on new designs and debuted them by now. Anyway, thank you guys for hanging out with me here on a Friday night. Good episode of SmackDown tonight. Enjoyed a lot of the wrestling on the show. Good to see Roman back at work, at least for this 1 week. We have Raw coming up this Monday. Still a couple of weeks left to go before Night of Champions. It's going to be busy at the end of the month. That last weekend of May, we have Night of Champions on Saturday. We have NXT Battleground that Sunday at the same time that AEW Double or Nothing is taking place. So obviously we'll be covering Night of Champions and I'll be covering Double or Nothing, not the NXT show. So that's going to be a very busy weekend, Memorial Day weekend, still a couple of weeks away. Episode 808 of The Sound Off coming up this Sunday, so be sure to check that out. We'll be talking a lot, not a lot of WWE news, but there's a quite a bit of AEW news, so we'll cover whatever news there may be, and then back live here on YouTube on Monday night. As always, hope you'll be here with me. So until then, be well, stay safe, thank you for all the love and all the support. Leave a comment in the comment section on the way out, leave a like, and I will see you back here for more Sound Off Live on Monday night. Have a great weekend, guys. I'll see you then.